grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this Reformation Sunday is written in the book of Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 through 18. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is our text. October 31st, 1517, 508 years ago. On that day, a young Augustinian monk by the name of Martin Luther went to the chapel church doors of the church in Wittenberg and nailed there 95 theses or statements that were to be discussion starters among his fellow professors and monks. But what he posted there quickly went literally around the known world. And with those hammer blows, the Reformation of the Church of God had begun. We who are here this morning are the beneficiaries of that Reformation. We enjoy the fruits of the reforms that Luther and the other reformers brought to the doctrines and the practices of the church of his day. Why was there need for reform? The doctrines and the practices of the church of Luther's day had become far removed from what the truths of scripture taught. And the reason that things had gotten so bad was that the Bible itself had literally been set aside. It was not used and very seldomly read by anyone. And gradually, its teachings became removed and replaced with the teachings of men and councils. As a result, people were misled from the truth. Now, Luther and his contemporaries, they were religious people. They believed in God. They believed in Jesus. But what the church was teaching them about God and about Jesus didn't bring them any hope, didn't give them any peace and comfort. What they were being taught only filled them with fear. Yes, they said that God has sent his son Jesus to pay for their sins. But then they taught the people that Jesus was to be seen only as a righteous judge. And he was very angry with them because they kept on sinning. So as a result, the people were taught that Jesus would only respond to them with wrath and judgment. He simply could not continue forgiving all the sins they kept on committing. So as a result, there was no understanding of the forgiveness of sins. There was no hope given about eternal life in heaven. But the Church of Luther's day just didn't leave it there. They taught the people that there were ways out of that situation. For example, they taught the people, well, you can do good works. But they were always left with the confusion about how many good works do I have to do to make up even for one sin? And then how many good works do I need to do to appease the wrath of God? So the church said, well, here's another possibility for you. Sacrificial giving to the church. But the people of Luther's day were so poor they could barely make it through their own daily needs. So the church says, here's another possibility. You could dedicate your life to service in the church. You could become a monk or a nun. That way, you can dedicate your entire life to the service of God and His church. Well, even if that doesn't appeal to you, then you can appeal to the saints, those who have already made it to heaven. If you pray earnestly enough to them, they might be able to share some grace with you or encourage Jesus to forgive some of your sins. But again, they were never sure if that would really work for them. And then the church came up with this idea. You could buy indulgences. You could pay for a piece of paper that claimed that either you or one of your family members, even someone who had died, could buy some forgiveness and thereby shorten your time in either purgatory and get you to heaven quicker. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was the sale of indulgences that was the catalyst for Luther's 95 Theses. At this point in Luther's life, he had become not only a monk, but also a professor. And as a professor, he was charged with teaching the Bible to his students. To help prepare for those classes, Luther learned to read the Bible in its original languages. He studied Hebrew and Greek. And it was through his studies of the Word of God, specifically the Psalms and the Book of Romans, where he began to see that the things that the church of his day was teaching didn't line up with what was being revealed to him in Scripture. In fact, the Scriptures were giving Luther an entirely different picture about almost everything the church was proclaiming. The Bible revealed to Luther a picture of God as a loving Heavenly Father, one who really cared about His children. In addition, in the pages of the Word, Luther found that God was revealing His Son to be not an angry judge, but a forgiving Savior. And almost everything that the church was teaching, Luther was finding was different from what the Bible was teaching. For example, repentance. The church taught that to be repentant meant that you had to do penance. You had to do something. Again, almost a works righteousness kind of idea. And that sprung from the fact that somebody mistranslated the word repentance from the original. The Bible revealed, however, that repentance was sorrow over your sins and the desire to turn from that sinful life. The doctrine of righteousness. The church taught that you had to become righteous before God. But the Scriptures revealed that righteousness comes from God. And that it is a gift to us by His grace through faith. Not something we do, but righteousness is something that God gives to His people. And the doctrine of good works. Good works, the church taught, was something that you needed to do to earn favor with God. But Scripture was revealing to Luther that good works were really a response to your faith and a response to God's love for you. Through his study of the Word, Luther discovered that a believer could have forgiveness. Full, free, and complete forgiveness of all of his sins. And he discovered that that forgiveness was not based on what we did, but on what Jesus had already done for us on the cross. Now he discovered that because there is forgiveness, there was also hope. The believer could be sure and certain of an eternal life with a forgiving God and Savior in Christ Jesus. So instead of living with words like anger and punishment and fear, the key words that Luther revealed out of God's word for God's people became grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, life, and salvation. And that was the key that opened up all the teachings of Scripture. Now Luther was driven to get this word of God into the hands of the people. And he set about the task of translating the Bible from its original languages into German, the language of his people. He wanted the people to read the word for themselves, because he saw in the word the power of God to open heaven for all believers. And it was that was the key to the reformation of the church and returned the church to its proper foundation. Our faith life today stands firm on what was rediscovered in the Reformation. Here we stand. We stand on the principle of grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, as taught in the Word alone. And now there is no more doubt about our salvation. Now there is no fear of wrath and judgment. Now there is hope and peace and joy, because we are God's forgiven children. And in Christ Jesus, he has made us children of his heavenly family. Now we live with a hope that cannot disappoint. Heaven is our home. By God's grace, through faith in Christ, we are saved eternally. And there is nothing, and there is no one who can ever take that away from us again. That's the power of God's word. It can change the world. It can change the hearts and lives of each and every person. And that's why, as God's Reformation people who bear the name Lutheran, need to make sure that we read and study the Word of God regularly and often, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. We need to read and study that Word of God, because there are so many in our world today who want to deceive us, who want us to be led away from the truths that are found in God's word. And the arguments of the world can at times be very convincing. And if we are not firmly grounded in the word, we can be misled and deceived. So on this 508th anniversary of the Reformation, we need to resolve to be more in the Word. We need to resolve that we read and study it regularly and often. We need to resolve that we will meditate on it every day. We need to resolve that we will study those words that God reveals to us. We need to resolve that we will make His word an inseparable part of our hearts and lives. And then when the world comes at you with its arguments, we can stand with Luther and declare, "Here I stand. God help me." Amen. We rise.